They were built using the now standard cross and square design. The churches tend to be mortuary churches or private chapels. And as an example of the type of construction that went on, one of the best examples is really the Church of the Pantocrator, that is Christ the All-Powerful. It is built on the fourth hill. It has been turned into a mosque. It's now under a very ambitious restoration project directed by Professor Oosterhout. And what it is really a series of three churches that were constructed over the course of the 12th century. The first by Irene, the wife of John II, who built a chapel there. And then John himself built a northern church just beyond it. And then a third interconnecting building or chapel connects the two churches, and in those churches are buried the Comnenian emperors, John II, Manuel, all sorts of members of the imperial family. Just beyond it is a monastery, a monastic complex, which is linked to these churches. The main church, the south church, was dedicated to Christ, the Pantocrator, the northern church to the Merciful Mary, Mary Theotokos, and the whole complex is typical of the type of churches constructed in the Middle Byzantine period. You would have areas set aside for private worship, for mortuary services. You don't have the grand basilican churches of the late antique period. And so when you think of Constantinople in the 12th century, that whole northern area was just ringed with these churches, really situated on impressive views. If you get up to the top of the Pantocrator and look down, you have a magnificent view of the Golden Horn. And this was all part of the revival of Orthodox faith, as well as maintaining the imperial dignity. In addition to the churches, Manuel I, for instance, rebuilt a whole section of the northern walls, running from what is known as the Blachernae Palace all the way to the shores of the Golden Horn. It's a big section of the walls. You can tell them today they have rounded towers. They're more in line with the type of fortifications you would see in Crusader castles in the Levant. The whole palace complex up there, the Blachernae Palace, a residence established in the 10th century, became the principal residence, the old imperial palace, which was, well, it's actually underneath what's now the Blue Mosque. Sultan Ahmet Jami'i in downtown Istanbul. But the main residence was also focused up to that northeastern corner, close to an important shrine of Mary of Blachernae, Mary of that district whose icon warded off various invaders. So for the city of Constantinople, the 12th century was an amazing surge in architectural construction. It was accompanied by important developments in painting, mosaics, decorative arts. I've mentioned before that church and cross and square churches provide all sorts of niches, archways, various places where you can really exploit the interior of that architecture for setting up mosaics and frescoes. And usually frescoes and mosaics were not so much a choice of money, or one was regarded as higher as the other, is the practical side of it. I mean, in some areas of the church, it's much easier to paint a mosaic. In other areas, it's easier to do to paint a fresco. In other areas, to set up a mosaic. And so when you walk into these later Byzantine churches, you're also you're often impressed that you have a mix of media there. And that was a choice in trying to convey the image most effectively to the viewer, because the purpose was ultimately religious. And as I've stressed before, this deals with religious art, and there's a whole tradition of private art that was quite separate and, as far as we can tell, quite classicizing in its emphasis. It just hasn't survived to nearly the same extent. So going into a church such as the Pantocrator, which has now been essentially stripped of all its decoration, it was whitewashed as a Muslim mosque, you would be immediately, the senses would be assaulted by all these visions of frescoes and mosaics in the usual standard program I've discussed before. There was a tendency to favor a rather linear and abstract style in the Comnenian age, and this would be what we often call the metropolitan art, the art favored by the capital and the court. We can see that very clearly in Hagia Sophia, the great church of Justinian built in the 6th century AD, because in the 10th through the 13th century, Hagia Sophia did receive figural mosaics. These are essentially panels that are commissioned in certain areas of the church for reasons, well, they're apparently dedicatory panels. On the upper galleries, on the east wall, close to where the apse is, there are two panels that really bring out the differences. There's the panel of Zoe and husband number three, Constantine the Ninth, Monomachus. And actually, we believe that Constantine's face has been changed. Before that was her first husband, Michael the Fourth. And before that was probably husband number one, her second husband, Michael the Fourth. Before that is husband number one, Romanus. So they kept updating the imperial portrait on that particular mosaic panel. But she and her husband are there offering money and a chrysobull to the enthroned Christ. And that style is very classicizing in its features. And you can see some sort of classical tradition coming through. Right next to it is a panel of John II and Irene and their son, Alexis, who never survived to take the throne. He predeceased his father. And that panel is a much flatter and traditional style that many would associate with the Byzantine tradition. There's a very strict, stark linearism to it. And that style seems to have been favored at least in the mid-12th century.